So what do you get when you cross a wizened Gen Xer with a proud millennial?
Here we go.
A mixtape filled with
Britney Spears songs?
Or maybe a rotary landline telephone
that takes selfies?
Maybe a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Or Tom and Jerry each get participation trophies?
No, 21st century solutions.
According to Kaylin and Ramsey.
It is Wednesday, August 3rd, 2022. How are you doing today, Kaylin?
I'm doing good. We arrived in Maine last week. That was part of our two-week hiatus from the show, as I was on vacation to enjoy the beaches of Maine with my family, which are beautiful and very cold. but we had a great week. My kids enjoyed having mom full time to themselves, and we got a lot of sunshine in. We saw Minions Rise of Groot, which was pretty cute, and just had lots of fun family time together.
Well,
how are you doing,
cool.
Ramsey?
I am doing well, and I am very excited because we have a guest with us today. Marcus Hoy, founder of Sustainable You, based in Washington, D.C. How are you doing today, Marcus?
Hey, Ramsey. Thank you for having me on here. Hey, Kaylin. It's good to be here. I'm doing pretty well. It's a little hot. It can get pretty muggy and humid and hot here in D.C. this time of year. A little jealous of your trip to Maine. Would love to get up there at some point, but doing well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Maine is so far north, it doesn't actually get hot up there, does it, Kaylin?
It was when we got here last Sunday. Marcus, I'm not sure if you know or not, but we full-time RV, so we're actually in Maine for 6 whole weeks. But we got here Sunday before last, and it was 98 degrees, and actually pretty muggy. Not their, you know, normal heat, that's for sure. Talk about climate change.
Yeah, seriously, that is definitely not normal.
No. <Yeah. laughs> But the water is still ice cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's because you're closer to those icebergs up there in the Arctic, which are all melting. But
yes.
Anyways, well, Marcus, Kaylin, and I invited you to join us today because not only are you one of our one of Easy Solon's favorite solar companies, you and your company also really embody what we talk about all the time as a community-based 21st century solution. So would you start out by telling us about how you founded Sustainable You and why it is completely different from kind of the average solar company?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a really great question. I've been in solar for about 8 years now. I love the industry. I've learned a lot over my time. I started at Solar City, and then that, you know, merged into Tesla for several years, and I learned a lot there. But one thing I didn't love was meeting people who really just wanted to do their part, but they weren't really a great fit specifically for solar. And so I saw there was an opportunity to create a consultancy just to help people, no matter what their circumstances were. They don't have to be a homeowner. Even if their house is surrounded by trees, I could still help them out in whatever their goals were around sustainability. And then I also saw an opportunity within solar specifically. The more I learned about it, the more I realized that certain companies kind of had their own specialties or strengths and weaknesses. And depending on the customer's specific circumstances, a different installer might actually be a better option than Tesla in some cases. And I realized that there was a lot of really good solar companies out there. So and that the process of going solar was almost too complicated for most folks, and that was one of the drivers behind not seeing as much adoption as I had hoped. In most markets the numbers kind of speak for themselves, but I realized in talking to a lot of different folks that it was just a little too complicated. People are busy, and they want to make the right decision for themselves, but when they have 25 different options and don't feel like they have the time to sort of navigate all of them as well as they would like to, Oftentimes, you know, we just end up not acting and not doing the things that we would want to do. So I sort of, you know, modeled Sustainable You around that problem and started vetting different providers. We are based in Washington, D.C., and there are some really great local incentives here. So I wanted to focus here first and then expand the model throughout the country from here. And yeah, there was just a really good opportunity to represent the customer and sort of change the model from, we have this one solution, here's why it's good for you, to let's get to know you and your circumstances and your own individual goals. And then from there, we have all of this knowledge about the industry and different installers, and we can sort of match the best solution to your specific needs. And that approach can apply outside of solar as well.
That's awesome. That is, you know, you have a really great outlook on the customer and the experience in a whole that we don't always see. And that's one of the reasons why we love having you as one of our solar companies. And you just kind of embody the type of contractor and solar company that we are looking to work for, and that's why, or work with, and that's why we wanted to invite you here today and to share all of those wonderful things that are not just solar based. So thank you for being here, and I'm excited to hear more about your business and all of the exciting things you have going on.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, and wanted to thank you guys as well. You know, this podcast is great, but even beyond that, just in your day job, you're really providing a lot of value to the industry at large. Financing can be a sticking point or a roadblock, if you will, in going solar, and a lot of companies have all kinds of you know, requirements, and it can be a very cumbersome process, and it really can make it more difficult for people to adopt solar. And I found that working with you guys over at Easy Solar Loan, it really is easy. Like, it's in the name, and it really feels that way. And I've heard the same from my clients. The process just seems to be quicker and more seamless, and really that is just helping at large the process to going solar and making it a bit easier for folks. So I just wanted to thank you guys, because really, you know, the same way I've been vetting installers, I've applied that methodology to different financing organizations as well. And I haven't found one that has been as easy to work with as you guys. And it's just been such a seamless process. So I just wanted to thank you guys for what you're creating as well.
Well, thank you. We like to think that we are a bit of trailblazers in the solar financing world, and with our transparent financing, we find that you know, we find the right contractors because of what we have to offer. So it's great to hear that from you, that you feel the same way.
Yeah, no, that's great. We definitely appreciate it. You know, part of, I think, what is sort of connects our two groups is that we're taking a much bigger picture look at the situation and what's going on, more so than, you know, just panels on the roof kind of stuff. You know, a much more holistic view of kind of what people are doing in their lives. And you know, you recently shared with us a booklet that you've been working on for your customers and really that for the world. One of the things that you start out with is a call for people to be toothpicks. Why should people be like toothpicks?
I think, you know, that is funny, particularly out of context.
Yeah, and I don't exactly.
Don't know if my intention was there, you know, for it. You know, I think in life, all too often things are taken out of context. But at least that, you know, it's there's just some humor behind that. You know, you wouldn't think that being a toothpick should have a positive connotation, but in this case it...
Well, I mean, in some ways, like, that sounds kind of gross. Like, why would I want to be a toothpick? No, right, but tell us the context.
Absolutely. I've just been for the last almost decade, I would say, kind of grappling with my, you know, mounting awareness of the many different environmental crises that we're facing as a civilization, and really trying to, like, from a non-judgmental place, figure out, like, why aren't we acting as a society as quickly as we should? And you know, that's a whole long conversation in and of itself. But I keep hearing the same kinds of arguments, and one of the biggest ones that I hear time and time again is that, well, just look at the math. Like, your individual actions actually don't matter, and all of the blame is on the politicians and the corporations and the governments, and you as an individual have no impact and you can't do anything. And ultimately, that line of thought, sure, mathematically, like, we are, you know, one of 8 billion people, and you know, even if I go from really high emissions to no emissions, like, that, you know, mathematically speaking is certainly negligible and doesn't matter. But that line of thought is actually one of the major reasons that, you know, we have an excuse not to act and not to do our part. And so I wanted to kind of address that excuse, I guess, that keeps coming up, by just using an analogy. And actually, this analogy sort of comes from just like a memory from my childhood, but I think it's just something that most people can kind of resonate with. I basically equate each of us as being a toothpick in terms of the raw materials to building a bridge. So if you think about it, I think, you know, we have to find a way as a society to build a bridge to the future that we want to create. And in order to build a bridge, you really need kind of two things. So, I mean, you need the manpower to actually do it, right? But you need the raw materials. You know, you need to actually, like, have something to build from. And then you need the glue that kind of holds it all together. And so in the analogy that I use in the book, the glue is essentially the innovations and the truly sustainable products and services that are that currently exist and that will exist as we as a society continue to innovate and trying to find ways to live a more sustainable lifestyle. But the toothpicks in this case, you know, if we're building a bridge and all we have is toothpicks, rather than saying, well, we're never going to build a bridge out of this and not even trying, you know, the best we can do is at least be a toothpick so that we can actually be the raw materials from which to build this future that we need to come from. And although one toothpick may not be super strong and provide all that much structural foundation, with enough toothpicks, you can actually build a very strong bridge. And, you know, imagine if all 8 billion of us, you know, filled our role. And even though it was such a small role, there's so many of us that really we can build a bridge that has unimaginable strength if we all decide that, you know, our little part to play actually does matter in the end.
Yes, that is awesome. Instead of making excuses, be the change and fight for the change is what I'm hearing you say.
Exactly. And actually, you know, the other reason, you know, you'll never be able to get to the future that we want to get to if we don't at least do our little part. But also, if we want to do it, we have to kind of be the example for others to follow. So ultimately, it's the best way to recruit others to the cause. If you know, if I was going around driving like an H2 Hummer to my solar appointments and telling people to go vegan and do all of these things, but I wasn't doing any of that stuff, then, you know, I would be a hypocrite and I wouldn't really be able to get other people to want to do that for themselves. But if I can at least do it for myself and live as a good example for others and really try to find joy in it, I think what's really important is finding joy in living more sustainably so that when others see you doing it, they're not like, oh, well, this person's sacrificing and lives kind of a not so great lifestyle. They don't seem very happy. Like, why would I want to do that? But if we can find ways to live sustainably and feel good about that, such that it invigorates the way that we live, that will naturally get others to want to join in and want to have that same kind of lifestyle. I don't think these things are mutually exclusive. Either we live, you know, wastefully high consuming lifestyles and we're super happy, or we're, you know, zero waste and super sustainable, but we're not as happy. I actually think it's the opposite. I think that we gain more fulfillment from purpose. And if we can incorporate more purpose into our everyday actions, it will actually we'll have more fun in life. We'll enjoy life more. We'll feel like we're contributing towards the life that we want to lead and the world that we want to leave behind.
That is really, really great. I so enjoy that image, actually, of the toothpicks being glued together to form a bridge. 'Cause, you know, part of that image is people working together is one part of it. Another is sort of lining things up in a meaningful way, and how when people connect with other people, they work together and can get to, you know, a place that they could never get on their own. You know, so like a single toothpick could never stretch across an expanse to make a bridge. Talking about the glue that holds things together, I think it's a terrific analogy. And talking too about how, you know, how finding fulfillment within living a sustainable lifestyle also, I think that that's a really powerful concept, because, you know, there's just so many ways in which when you know that you're doing something good or something right or something that is not destructive, that just makes a lot of difference within. You know, at one point in the booklet that you wrote, you talk about building a community to heal our relationship with nature, one another, and to manifest this thriving future before we let it slip from our grasp. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, how can we do that? You know, we talked about how things are sort of, you know, big and so far along and there's momentum. You know, it's hard to see how to turn things around, but what are some examples? Like, what are some things that we can do? What are some meaningful impacts that you talk about doing with your customers and your people?
Yeah. So I think it is big. It is something that is kind of difficult for most people to almost accept, that, you know, that their actions can contribute towards something on such like a grand scale. But ultimately, I think, you know, it does go back to that analogy. You know, we have to play our part, and if everybody is, then, you know, we can, to your point, you know, we can have a bridge that stretches all the way across a distance that we could never achieve as individuals. And I think, you know, it's a little easier than most people realize. And actually, the whole booklet, the e-booklet itself, is sort of an exercise in thinking about your life, kind of compartmentalizing the different components of your life that make up you as a consumer, and kind of simplifying it and organizing and addressing it kind of one by one, and just having an open mindset that, you know, you may actually come across different passions that may speak to you, and just letting it flow naturally. I think at the very beginning it says, you know, don't let perfection be the enemy of the good or of you being more sustainable. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. Like anything, when you try to make progress, I know myself for sure, you know, I can get very passionate about something and, you know, work super hard and then almost like wear myself out and then kind of fall off from the thing that I was working hard on. And right. I think that, you know, that happens a lot. It's part of life. And I think with sustainability, it's the same kind of thing. I think, you know, all too often we get bogged down in the one thing that, you know, it's like, oh, I, you know, I'm energized. I want to do my part. Like, I'm going zero waste. And I am going to change my entire lifestyle and like never, you know, do these things. And I think that it ultimately ends up taking away from some of the other like lower hanging fruit things that we could be doing that are easier. And I think we should be looking at it from like a macro standpoint and like, what are the easiest things that I can do that have the biggest impact mathematically? But also even before that, like, what are the things that happen to be more sustainable that are also better for me in very clear, direct ways that would make me happier on a daily basis, right? Like going to the farmer's market. You know, I'm vegan and I have been for several years now, mostly for environmental reasons. But that's a tough ask. And I've found that's probably the one thing that is the hardest to get people to change. People are very intimately connected to their food systems and what they eat, and it's, you know, it's oftentimes their favorite part of the day, so you know they want to be able to do what they enjoy the most. And I think rather than, you know, trying to say everybody needs to go vegan, I think try to eat more sustainable meat. Go to the local farmer's market. It's going to be fresher, it's going to taste better. You're going to be supporting a local business, which is something you can feel good about. There's all these things in life that just seem to be better. You know, if you grow your own, you know, vegetables at your house, it's, you know, you can't get fresher than picking it right off the vine and then, you know, eating it or cooking it right away. And so there are all these different things in life that we can do, that we can focus on to start, to make progress that's sustainable progress. It's not just a short term, I'm going to be, you know, zero waste for 3 months and then never again, you know, in my life. It's like, let's start on the bigger things and really just focus on ourselves, because ultimately in the end, all you really can control is yourself. And if you do it in a way that, you know, makes your life enhanced and it's better, then other people around you are going to follow suit or going to want to participate as well. So your impact, it certainly gets much bigger than yourself. But I also think, you know, doing things simply like participating in democracy, right? Like actually studying the politicians and seeing what they've done in the past and what their policies truly are and starting to hold them accountable, starting to only buy things from companies that support the way that you feel about the world, that are contributing towards a more sustainable future. Finding enjoyment out of life and your experiences with others and getting out in nature and shying away from getting enjoyment from, you know, like buying a new shiny thing. I think all of these things are simple shifts in our awareness and consciousness that we can pretty easily incorporate into our life. And really, that I think that's all we need to do, because if you can make these changes, then so can others. If you can't make mm-hmm. these changes, then others won't make those changes either. And I think recognizing your connection to your outer world, your inner world and your outer worlds, you know, they influence one another. And having confidence that and getting enjoyment out of, like, you are doing your part, you should feel energized by that, helps you to not focus on these big looming problems that seem very much out of your control, and really knowing, like, within yourself that you're doing your part is really, I think, all that anybody can ask, and knowing that there are so many other people doing their part too, and I think celebrating the other folks that are making real impacts and that are trying their best, I think has been effective for me as well.
And I think, you know, it's funny because we get to talk to a lot of people who've gone solar, right? And I think it's starting to take over the old image of someone with their brand new shiny car wanting to show it off. People love mm-hmm. to show off and talk about their solar. So hopefully we're moving towards a place where we're replacing those old things that used to be cool, and now we're making it clean energy and sustainability cool. And you know, we talk about that as an organization as well, is how can we get, you know, our customers to talk to their customers about going solar, and not just for Easy Solar alone, because their neighbor might be a different, you know, have a different financial situation than they do, mm-hmm. and they may not need loans, but whatever they can do to talk to their neighbors and their friends and their community is just going to help us all out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's maybe it's part of a shift of, you know, society has been kind of programming us that we ought to derive pleasure from what we consume. And instead, maybe this is like, we should get really enjoy and get pleasure from what we produce. And, you know, I talk often about how we as a society need to start thinking of ourselves as not just consumers, but think of ourselves as producers, you know, and being productive, like whatever it is that you make or that you do or that you create, you know, as long as it has some kind of value, or is it something that you really care about or that you like or that is helpful, then, you know, that's where you can get some satisfaction from that. So, you know, deriving satisfaction from what you make and what you create and what you work on, instead of from what you ate or what you drove or what you sort of tore apart.
Absolutely. I think that is 100% a way that I think we can all adopt, you know, as often as possible into our own lives, and certainly thinking of it that way. We aren't just consumers. We're producers and we're influencers. You know, we can influence ourselves. We can influence our families, our friends, you know, our politicians. Really, you can influence corporations if you get enough people to bombard the CEO with emails saying, hey, you know, I would buy your product except for this. And if they get thousands of emails constantly, you bet that they're going to change that product. So there's absolutely things we can do to shift, you know, the world that we see around us.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned being vegan and, you know, food just in general. I don't know that I'll ever give up eating meat mm-hmm. just because that's, like you said, that's part of kind of who and what I am. But what I found is that adding fresh vegetables, adding more whole foods has been really significant. Like, talk to me a bit about sort of what you think about, you know, adding vegetables or superfoods. You know, are there certain foods that just make you feel better when you eat them and like literally improve your health?
For sure. For sure. And that's one of those things where it's like, you know, focus on your health. And it's interesting that oftentimes in food systems, what's healthier for the planet is actually also healthier for us. And we are kind of an extension of the planet, if you really think about it. And, so, you know, locally produced organic farms without pesticides, you know, those are going to be best for the planet. They're also going to have the most nutrient density and be healthiest for you. Same with meats, you know, factory farm meats. I think all people are in agreement that that's messed up and we don't really want to contribute towards it. But at the same time, it's cheap and so, you know, there is some macro level changes that need to happen to really encourage and help stimulate these farms that are doing it the right way. You know, they have, you know, their meat is produced, you know, free range, but it's really part of an ecosystem where the animals are really giving back to the earth, and they're part of the ecosystem, and it's contributing towards a carbon sink, where the land that those animals are roaming on are actually sequestering carbon into the ground, into the soil, providing more nutrients to the soil from which we can farm better on. And you know, it's happier animals that are actually living a dignified life. I think that's a good shift for folks who don't think that they could give up meat. And to be honest, like I was in that same bucket, if you will, like, you know, 7-ish years ago. I thought there's no way, you know, my whole life I'd eaten meat with every single meal. I didn't even think that a meal like was a full meal if there wasn't meat in it, up until I just made the shift. And there was just enough evidence and enough information, you know, just looking at the math on how much, you know, resources are wasted, and or it's just it's a really inefficient way of feeding us. It's an indirect method. You know, we're using all of this like farmland and soil and water to grow food for these animals, which then are really not that efficient at converting that food into their own meat, from a purely like mathematical basis. And it didn't add up. And then I was like, well, it's also really healthy if you minimize meat consumption. You know, I don't necessarily believe that like a really like free range organic like well made steak is going to automatically, one bite of it is bad for you. I don't subscribe to that. I think anything in moderation is good, and I do think meats can be nutritious for folks, but I think the way that we eat them, and the processed meats, the factory farm meats, and just how often we're doing it, it's very not healthy. There's, you know, a lot of studies that can show correlations between several different kinds of cancers and processed meats and really just high meat intake in general. So I think that's, you know, I've felt great, you know, since I've gone vegan. And, you know, I'm not like the strictest, like no matter what, I refuse to eat anything that's not vegan. You know, I'll have honey. I actually support bees. I think that they're so important for the ecosystem. They provide all kinds of like free pollination all over the world to the tune of billions of dollars. And we need to support folks that are actually like tending to beehives and helping stimulate the bee populations. But also, like, if something's going to get wasted or thrown out, since my main motivator is environmental, you know, a steak in the trash is way worse than me eating it. And what I found is that when I do eat meat, it's pretty infrequently at this point, but there is still sometimes I'll have, you know, cheese on a pizza or meat every once in a while. It's a different kind of thought process than it used to be. I used to take it for granted and just be like, it's food, it tastes good, great. Now I really cherish it and I appreciate it. And I think of like everything that went into this being that that is nourishing my body. And it's changed my whole perspective with food. And I think a lot of people on the planet do actually have that perspective, and food is very ceremonial and there's a lot of thanks given to it. And I think we should all be eating that way, no matter what it is we're eating, and recognize like how important it is. But you know, that has been good for me. It's like, you know, I will go years without touching meat and then I could literally eat a steak and feel fine. Whereas I've heard a lot of other folks who have gone completely plant-based, if they touch meat, they feel sick or something. I feel like this like mentality of, okay, well, this was gonna be wasted otherwise. I might as well use it and super appreciate it and enjoy it. And that seems to like really nourish my body. So it's helped me, and I definitely feel really good now that I don't eat a lot of meat. And I think most folks who are really studying, you know, the data and nutrition, it would say that eating a whole food plant-based diet, of, you know, getting enough varied vegetables and getting enough calories in your diet, although, you know, still today it may be a little bit more effort, it's becoming a little bit easier as there's a lot of food innovations happening. Yeah, I just feel better, and I would encourage others to try it. You know, start with even just a day, doing a meatless Monday or something, and see how you feel, and go from there.
Very, very inspiring. I'm kind of on the same wave as Ramsey, that I can't imagine it at this point, but hearing you talk about it is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. Like, oh, it actually doesn't sound that terrible. And I think there's also been a lot of improvement in choices of what you can consume that will curb your yearning for that meat that you're missing in your diet, and you know, impossible burgers and that kind of thing that maybe makes it a little bit easier these days. I would love to see more support from our government regarding, you know, sustainable eating and vegetables and organic, and making sure that those prices are not twice as much as the items that have all of the pesticides and hormones in them. Because when you go to the store, you know, if you have a large family that you're feeding, it's going to double your grocery bill to buy those options versus the organic and the grass-fed options. So we have to push as a society all together to make it so that's the standard, not the extra cost to add to your monthly expenses.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There definitely needs to be more, there needs to be more aid in making it easier. I will say, without going too far down this rabbit hole, you know, there's too much money in sickness. There's too much money in keeping, you know, a lot of industries would hurt very badly, pharmaceuticals, healthcare, just to name a few, if everybody decided to be super, super healthy, you know, for themselves. Plus, you know, there would have to be an iterative change to go from where we're currently at as a society, from a, you know, industrial food system, to accommodate like everybody eating like locally plant-based. But you know, the change is always going to be slow, and it'll follow the adoption rates, and as more and more people start to make that shift, the industry will accommodate, the market dynamics will happen, and ultimately I think if enough people are calling for this, that's when the governments will start to respond. But I don't expect there to be like a government mandate ever to tell people to be healthy. I think really we all just need to find a way. It's tough. Like I find it tough in my own life to choose the healthy option all the time. I'm getting better at it, but it's a process that I'm working on. And I actually find that the environmental crisis is very directly linked to our own internal battle with trying to be healthy. You know, it's living in the United States, it should be the easiest thing in the world to stay hydrated. You know, I have water around me at all the time, and I should be able to be hydrated, right? But I still find it difficult. I find myself dehydrated all the time. Like, why did I, you know, I worked all day and didn't drink any water today. Like, you know, there's these really interesting things that I've noticed in my own life, that it should be so easy to drink water. It should be so easy to choose healthy food every day. It should be so easy to just work out. I feel great after I work out. I love how it makes me feel to be in good shape, but it's still hard to get myself to do those things. And I find those two battles to be very directly linked. Our own battle in our own individual lives with trying to just be the healthiest version of ourselves, and our consumption lifestyle and trying to be the most sustainable versions of ourselves. I think that they're very, very linked.
And I totally agree. But why do you think it is that you find it difficult? Like, why is it difficult? 'Cause from a big picture perspective, I guess my question would be, it's like, you know, we know that we will be better off if we drink enough water. We know that we feel better after we exercise. You know, why don't we do it? Why don't you do it?
I think, you know, it's a tough question to answer. I've definitely reflected on it some. I think that there's a few reasons for it. I think, you know, in general, like, there's so much going on in life. There's so much distraction. There's so much noise. We're busy, you know, we get caught up doing things. And so we're not consciously thinking about being healthy as often as we should. And I think that's like we have to find ways to develop habits, and it takes time to develop habits. And it's cool. There's a lot of innovation around this. There's apps you can use that can help you, you know, with behavior change and developing habits. And and you know, we can set reminders for ourselves and all of these different things. I think it's just a work in progress. It's part of the mission of life is recognizing that there's kind of like this, you know, binary nature to things, in that it may be super easy, but sometimes the easiest things are actually the hardest things to do. And I think, you know, just slowly we've got to identify, you know, the things in our lives that have the most benefit and make the most sense, and try to create pathways to develop those habits that we want to see, to get us, you know, to the future and living the life that we want to lead.
Yeah. Well, distractions, I think you're dead on with that. You know, the messages that we get from advertising and marketing and from all of those big corporations that want us to buy all their stuff, you know, that stuff just comes at us constantly. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising from that point that we would be getting the message that way, and then just being distracted by all the other things that we have going on. So, you know, I really just love the fact that as a solar company, you're looking at what it is that powers your house. And then as like beyond that, Sustainable You is looking at what powers the person. You know, when you talk about food and nutrition and hydration and exercise, all of those things are things that, you know, power the person. And it just seems like a really consistent kind of holistic approach. Do you find that, you know, as you're consulting, you're consulting for both sort of the energy that people do at their homes and their lives in general? Sort of how do those things work together in your business?
Absolutely. I would say so far at Sustainable Use, solar has certainly been like the driving force, you know, as a financial mechanism supporting this. And I would say for the most part, these other things are weaved in to the consulting process. But solar can be complicated enough, and there's enough things to cover with the different incentives that are changing and how those, you know, market dynamics work and everything, that I think it is important to not overwhelm somebody with far too much all at once. So we've started by, we'll weave in, you know, hinting at some of the other things that we can help folks with. And sometimes naturally it just comes up in the conversation as we're talking about the home. You know, a customer may be thinking about replacing their heating system from gas to electric, and you know, we can go off on a tangent about that. Or they're literally in the process of looking at an electric vehicle, and I can help advise them depending on what their family situation is, what kind of driving they do on a daily basis, what their road trips look like, you know, what the best solution and charging solution is. But for the most part, I focus the initial consultation very heavily on what is the best solar solution for this particular set of unique circumstances for this person and their goals and what they're trying to achieve. And focusing heavily on that, getting that done and getting that answer, you know, for them and delivering on that promise. So that from there, after they've gotten solar and after they're, you know, reaping the benefits from that, particularly in DC, where we can literally give free solar, like actual free solar, where it's 0 cents per kilowatt hour for the life of the system to any person that has a house, unless it's completely shaded here in DC because of the local incentives, or they can actually go solar in a way that the incentives every month and every year pay them more money than they're paying to own the system. They actually generate pure income and profit from the very beginning to switch to now owning their own solar panels for their house. So particularly in DC, and there are some other markets where the financials are that kind of no-brainer. I want to start there first because that frees up a lot of money. It delivers a product that just flat out works and helps them out and is really good for them, both financially and environmentally. And then from there, we can start to look into some of these other things and identify, you know, what's your next step in sustainability? And, you know, that expands all the way to investments, like, you know, what banks are you using? What are those banks doing with your money? What is your 401k consisting of? Is it aligned with the kind of world you want to see? And so we can really help people out, both on the front end, tangible, let's install solar, all the way to the long-term, you know, retirement income and all of your money that's sitting there. How is it contributing towards the world that you want to see?
It's beautiful. I love it. Your outlook is just, it's exactly what Ramsey and I talk about and what UC Solar Loan, you know, when we all get together and brainstorm like we do several times a week. These are the things that we talk about ourselves, and it's just, it's great to have a partner who sees the world the same way and is doing even more than we are to join forces with and help out. So once again, we thank you and are glad that you came to the show today to share all of your knowledge with us and the audience.
Yeah, and for people that are listening and that they're inspired, how can they learn more? Where can people follow you online or find your website?
Yeah, so you can Google Sustainable You, two words, sustainable and then Y-O-U, and we should be the first several links that pop up. Just check out our website, send us a message. You can actually book a 15-minute call in either our ecosystem offerings or solar stuff, or really just a chat. We have this eco booklet that we just finished, and anybody that reaches out, I'll send a free copy to if you're interested. Definitely go to our website or follow us on Instagram, sustainableyou.org. So sustainable, Y-O-U-O-R-G on Instagram. And you can find our socials all from our website as well.
Awesome. Hey, Marcus, thank you so much for your time today. Great, great chatting with you.
Thanks for having me on here. You guys have a great rest of your day and keep up the good work.
Thank you. You too.